Well, thanks all for coming. Appreciate it's probably been the end. It's the end of a quite long day for many of us, so I hope to make this interesting. As I think probably you will have read, I spent 6 years working at a bank in the small Caribbean island of Grenada. And I want to tell you something about my experiences of trying to do things with Linux in that environment, which was it's kind of strange. We had a proprietary banking system based on IBM AS/400, which is a proprietary mid-range system. From IBM, I think it's called the I series these days, and the AS/400 is an interesting machine. It's this way, you call it a mid-range system, and it has an integrated database. And one thing that I always like to say is one of the major advantages of the AS/400 is that it makes a great table. It's about this high. And that you can, you know, do all sorts of stuff on top of it, you know, like rip reports and organize stuff, and it was really good for that. Initially, the Windows network was based on NT4 server at four locations, actually four domains for each location, which was a bit strange. And it was a fairly traditional Windows-based user environment with some client software that worked with the banking system. And there was some loose integration between Windows and the AS/400. Further to that, we actually had a Unix box running, which is a Unix box running AIX, which is the IBM version of Unix, to handle ATM. Transactions using an Informix database, ATM being, you know, the machines that dispense cash, Geldautomat. You'll see, realize that it was fairly out of date. It was a few years out of date even when I started work there. And there was a lot of manual and paper intensive processes going on. Which had a lot of potential for improvement, which is where is the focus of this presentation. Now, if you're thinking, sorry, that was 2003. That was at the end of 2003. It's a few years back. I'm just going to mention sort of the relevance to today, or the possible relevance to today. Because I came across this article in a UK journal called IT Journal called The Register, which is saying that that people, maybe people like graduates of IT from Chemnitz who've got skills in Java and .NET and all the latest software tools are being retrained to be sysadmins of mainframe systems, you know, IBM being the dominant mainframe vendor, because the old guys that have been managing those systems all the time are actually having to leave because they need to retire. You know, maybe, just maybe, you might have the opportunity to retrain as a mainframe sysadmin at some point. And maybe you shouldn't avoid the opportunity because, you know, you could do fun things like this on the side. What I forgot to mention was that there was a lot of resistance to introducing anything new into the network. And so I had to do things sort of fairly slowly. One of the things that I was able to do was to work with the RS 6000, which is of course a Unix box, and There was a few things. I was able to do something with Cygwin as well. What's the control thingy? The pointer. Oh, thanks. Sorry. Yeah. On the RS6000, which it was fairly straightforward to install something like MRTG to do network monitoring, which was a need at the time. Later wasn't, because it was replaced by SolarWinds, which is operated from Trinidad, so that worked okay. I don't know, you may be familiar with Cygwin, which is a DOS compatibility, sorry, a Unix compatibility package for Windows. And I was taking it very carefully as just using these two utilities from Cygwin in order to extract statement information from these big statement files that were generated by the RIB system, which I think I'll get a chance to talk about that a bit more later on. And also, was one major success was the ability to do some health monitoring of the ATM system and the AS400. The idea between the idea to do with the ATMs was that during certain hours of the day, like the main part of the day, you can expect an ATM to dispense cash for at least once per hour. If it doesn't do that, then there might be a problem, because you normally expect it's regularly dispensing cash, or at least in our environment that was the case. The problem that we had was that there were ATMs that were experiencing that had faults, like what they call a dispenser error, which is money jammed in the machine somewhere and not able to dispense cash because of that. And our regular 24-hour monitoring people based in Trinidad were not actually seeing this fault, or they weren't looking hard enough on a regular basis to see if there was a problem. So it was a fairly simple process to actually query the ATM transaction log, which is actually on the RS6000 itself, to see have there been any cash withdrawals on a particular ATM for the last hour, and if not, then send me an SMS or an email telling me there could be a problem, because I've not seen that particular ATM dispense cash. That worked amazingly well and picked up numerous problems that our monitoring people who had that responsibility, they were just not seeing. Maybe about a 20-line bash script running on the RS6000. Similar things for the AS400 to check the number of unprocessed transactions between the AS400 and the Windows servers, and to also check the status of backups during the end of day process, which is what runs after the bank is actually closed. It's the whole reconciliation process that goes on, and very a delicate process, shall we say, and important to get your backups right during that process. I also did some work with Asterisk, and and you're using the TrixBox distribution. Actually, the Unix distribution that I used, the Linux distribution that I used was CentOS, which is based on Red Hat. Well, it basically is Red Hat. It's just a kind of a free version, free distribution. And that's used by TrixBox as the operating system. And one of the things I was able to do with Asterisk was to try and improve the process of call handling, of calls coming into the IT help desk. If there was nobody around to take the call, to actually route that call to a location where the call could be to actually find somebody to deal with it, and also what worked out to be quite popular was the fax to PDF capability, which is basically all it's doing is translating a received fax to PDF and sending it as an attachment to an email. So that was the kind of like the early starts, and that was sufficiently successful to warrant actually implementing a system inside the. To implement a dedicated Linux system inside the firewall for the purpose, but I just mentioned actually this slide just illustrates a very simple tool called Mini Sendmail that I used entirely from Bash scripts to send email outside the firewall, like for example notifications that I'm about the health of the ATM system that I mentioned a moment ago. I needed to send an email outside the firewall. And Mini Sendmail, though it's very simple, it's written in C and it's very basic, basically did the job for all requirements. And initially it was running on the RS6000, but it also happily ran on the Linux box as well, as I'll mention later when I introduce it on the next slide. What you can do is, well, if you want to send an SMS, you can use an SMS to email, email to SMS gateway, and most such gateways will actually truncate the message after 140 characters. So you just have to make those first 140 characters significant, sufficient information that that is actually going to be a useful SMS. The monitoring of the health monitoring of the ATM system also included a regular message, which was a brief. Summary of the actual transactions, the actual amount of cash dispensed by the ATM, the number of transactions in so doing, and also any errors that were experienced during a particular withdrawal. If the withdrawal was not successful, what was the error code? What actually would cause that withdrawal to be unsuccessful? I may get a chance later to show you an example of that, but got quite a few slides to get through. Now, as I mentioned, I implemented a dedicated machine within the firewall, so not actually accessible from outside, to implement automated emailing of statements. We had a particular large customer that was potentially threatening to leave because they were getting their paper statements so late. That was the only way they had of receiving papers. No internet banking, people. They were receiving their paper statements so late, they weren't able to do the necessary reconciliation that they needed to do at the end of the week, which is a weekly statement. And so rather than one of my team having to send an email manually every at the end of every week, after the end of day process on Friday, I put the original said script in a bash wrapper to actually sort of automate the sending of email and actually to make it encrypted and confidential, which I might mention again. And of course, it needed to be inside the firewall because all the statement archive, which is generated from RIBS, the banking system, was in that secure environment. And I stuck with Red Hat and CentOS, partially because I was already using it for asterisk experiments. And secondly, the bank as a whole had made a strategic decision to switch to a more modern banking platform called T24. And that was running on top of a Oracle database and underlying Red Hat Linux, Red Hat Enterprise Linux. Now, things started to really come together as far as working with the RIBS banking system. When I was able to actually mirror the database or specific important tables on the AS400, the banking system on the AS400, onto the Linux machine, so. The idea was being that if you have a copy of the database, or at least the most useful tables of the database on the Linux machine, then you can use the power of Linux in order to run queries and automate various processes and so on. And so it proved to be. But I was reluctant to go down that route because it seemed rather crude, and it's using Kermit, which if you know what I mean by Kermit, you're showing your age, because it kind of predates the internet. I use Kermit to do basically remote command execution on the AS400 and generate the CSV file, which could then be transferred by FTP to the Linux box and imported into a MySQL database. So the MySQL database on Linux actually held an entire copy of these particular tables of the banking system. So basically had access on a daily basis to the latest information on customers' accounts and loans and so on. And you could also archive those CSV files, which is kind of useful as well if you wanted to do snapshots of queries at the end of the month, for example, or end of any particular month. Just want to give you a flavor of the tables that were involved. So you've got customer records. You have to have basically sort of customers' names and addresses, and that was very important for what's coming up. Savings and current accounts, or DDA accounts, checking accounts, are all stored. All the master information was all stored in one file. The transactions were stored separately in only 13 months worth of transactions. Loans information, loans history information, and ATM card information to relate ATM cards, card numbers to the accounts that were used to that you could use the card to draw money from that particular account. So you can get an idea, get a feel for the sort of information and the use that it would have. I think I can show you. I'll just show you briefly. Is that I'm not a web designer. I have to stress. You laugh at you'll probably laugh. It's as those of you who are knowledgeable about web design will laugh at this particular thing. But I think it's this one maybe. That's the output. There's a couple of things that we already had in place, but they were very kind of error prone and insufficient. One of them was to do with payroll information, which was basically large employers would send us files in Excel. With a list of our customers whose accounts we should credit for them to be paid at the end of the month, and that's what this is. And basically, big text box here is just to take the contents of that Excel file, sort of just paste in CSV into this web page. And it's actually a bash script in the background, as a bash CGI script, which generated, it basically did integrity checks. The problem that we had was that the information was always wrong. There was always errors that the people had actually changed banks, for example. They'd changed banks and they hadn't informed the employer that they'd changed banks. So these funds should have never come to us. They should have gone to the bank. So that's why the bank account is closed. So that's the reason why it shows up invalid. So you can actually the advantage was you could actually fix these errors before. They caused a problem, and you could actually get the information all right, because at the end of the day, we'd upload all this data in batch to the AS400 and actually execute the crediting of the accounts that was required. So that was pretty successful. That was a first attempt. Where are we? A first attempt at actually implementing a web front end, and actually used this SD master table in order to verify that the accounts were all valid for crediting. Something else that we had to do was reverse. Some sort of bug in the banking system was that it charged customers the service charge at the end of the month for the service charge for the use of the account, and put those customers in overdraft, actually put them in the red, and we had to clearly that didn't make sense to actually put an account into overdraft, to put it in the red. On just by deducting the service charge, so we always had to add back and reverse that service charge. There was about 9,000 accounts. So this made it a very tedious and error-prone operation. It made it just a question of 2 minutes. Actually, it didn't require web front end. And I'll talk a little bit more about the credit card system, which is a bit more complicated, which is a Linux box outside the firewall would access a system, I think it's called First Data Merchant Services, via PSTN, would you believe, actually using modem dial-up over PSTN to retrieve reports on a daily basis about which of our credit card merchants for which the bank was an agent, which of them or had actually processed transactions that day or for that day's period, and to actually pay them the commission that they were due because they were kind of like agents or because the bank was an agent of these merchants. So they would take a credit card transaction and we would have to pay commission on them. So the way that worked was that it would send an email into the internal network, which was picked up by the officer responsible, and he used a similar web front end. It's not any different, to be quite honest. I'll just show you maybe the output, which is just a bit more sophisticated, and so it would validate all the account numbers that needed to be credited, and that's the amount that they needed to be credited by, and once again, it would give you a list of invalid accounts if anything had changed, which made it or a new account had been added or something like that, so you can see even though it was just a fairly basic bash script, it actually provided quite a lot of information, and it saved that particular member of staff who was responsible for this process on a daily basis. It actually saved him about 3 or 4 hours a day, in actually doing this thing manually. Now, I want to talk about this is a sort of like an enabler for the next step, which is an issue that I had was this: I wanted to actually be able to have kind of users on the system that I was in the process of implementing, but I didn't want to actually have to do my own separate authentication or maintain my own database of usernames and passwords, and so I put quite a bit of effort into getting this NTLM user authentication mechanism up and running, which is actually best supported by Internet Explorer, which obviously because it was a Windows environment, was the browser that was used. But I believe you can get Firefox to work with it as well. And it's a challenge response mechanism, so it's just a kind of a proprietary thing where the server asks for additional authentication or to ask for authentication information actually as part of the web request, and there's a kind of a handshake, and as a result, the user gets authenticated actually in the NT or Active Directory server environment, rather than on the web server itself, and it's an Apache module called Mod Auth NTLM Winbind. It's developed by the Samba project, and I think it's great. I just mentioned that that it's I had a look at a few CMSs to replace the really fairly basic stuff I'd done, and it seemed like Drupal supported it, but I'm not sure about any others. Well, I won't go into the details of how to configure it. If you have an environment that you want to do such a thing in, then by all means contact me. That's the installation part, which is fairly sort of standard stuff. Just copying the module to the relevant Apache directory, and then this is the Apache configuration part. Now this bit here. You can actually have an access list to restrict that particular web resource to a specific set of users. This one here actually puts that responsibility in the hands of the web application, as it were, which was what I wanted for this particular purpose. And you can, if you run the SQUID proxy, you can use that for controlling internet access as well. And that's how you do that, using an access control list. And you can have a list of users in the Active Directory environment, and actually control basically which websites your users go to. This is the major area of work that was completed using that sort of basic platform, which was to provide a database mostly concerning the customer part of the banking database, but to actually provide the information about as many customers as possible, which is it's about 35,000 customers, so it was quite a lot of customers, and making sure that that as much information was there as possible to meet the requirements of this new T24 banking system. So to make sure that it will surprise you, but I don't think it's actually peculiar to this bank that, for example, dates of birth were missing, and we didn't have a proper ID like passport number or whatever for many customers because simply of the age of that particular customer, there'd been customers of the bank for 20 years or more. So that was set up to as an independent database from RIVS, but based on it, using the mirrored tables as the basis, and I basically did the final work on the user interface about a week after I was told that we were going to have four temporary staff actually coming to work on this project, so I needed to have something for them to work on, and was able to do it in that amount of time. So just to talk a bit more specifically, this is the way a modern banking system would work. Was you got if you have an account which is joined, or a product which is joined, so either one or other or maybe several people can have access, can withdraw cash or whatever from that account. And so that product must reference more than one customer. But the problem that we had, that we were trying to solve with RIBS, was that if you had a joint product, it would actually reference a separate customer record, which was the combination of the individual records. And so clearly, in this situation, we've got, it was like a husband and wife situation, we've got a duplicate record, we've got duplicate information, which is what we were trying to eliminate. There's a few thousand such records, and it actually impacts the whole database, so it's quite a lot of work to sort out. Yeah, I mentioned statements. But basically, the previous approach to the approach that had existed previously to statements is that basically you print out a big file and you sort it or direct different statements to different customers by ripping by ripping the statements apart and sending the pieces of paper through the post to the particular customer. So clearly, it's not very efficient. So in the absence of internet banking, this was a major step forward, and a further step forward was to generate PDF rather than text, unfortunately PDF TK didn't do everything that I needed to do, and I had to use this text to PDF thing. Moving on from there, you get customers saying, "Oh, I want all my statements for 2 years, 5 years ago," and ultimately the solution was to actually empower bank staff to handle those requests themselves. So using a PHP front end. I was able to do that. Further on, we had the same problem with credit card statements. The solution for that actually included the ability for the customer to actually come into the bank and from the member of staff at the counter to actually provision them with a password for provision them for email credit card statements, and with a password that they could actually open it securely when they receive that email at the end of the month at home. ZIP encryption. I use ZIP encryption for so it's basically just a simple password mechanism provided by the ZIP algorithm. So this probably could be better, but it was fairly easy to do and hopefully secure enough. We had some problems with the supply of stationery. We just used special stationery to print out statements. It turned out that you could actually save money as well by processing an entire month's statements to PDF and just printing them out on normal laser printers. I just wanted to mention Unix ODBC briefly because it's quite a useful project. It turns out you can get a Unix ODBC driver for the AS400, which allows you to run SQL queries directly on the AS400, and I installed it and it works, but it has a few quirks. I was still quite happy with the concept of actually mirroring the database tables and for performance reasons probably as well. That had some advantages, I was able to interface to the Infomix database on the RS6000 in a similar way, so basically running SQL commands from the Linux box. Now, it should be possible to do something similar with Microsoft SQL Server, because obviously the install base of SQL Server is quite large, and there's lots of applications that could benefit from running queries. I think there are a lot. We had branch servers, ATM card issuing, and I think the future data warehouse for T24 was based on SQL Server. Not sure about, there's another banking system that I had some exposure to, it's called Core Director, which is Windows-based, which I'm not sure what database it's based on, but I can't comment about the Unix ODBC driver for SQL Server because I never actually tried it. And it provides, the other advantage of Unix ODBC is for an application, basically it's transparent to the application what database is underlying. It uses a standard interface, for example, in PHP or whatever the function calls are all the same, depending no matter what database is underneath. I was hoping to demo this, but didn't really have time to actually get it running before I started the presentation. And the idea behind this was to encapsulate the entire system into a virtual machine or it's an automated install using Kickstart. It doesn't have to be a virtual machine, but a virtual machine is attractive because it's so easy to set up. You don't have to mess around with hardware. I actually use VirtualBox as a virtual machine wrapper. Originally did this to try and automate the provisioning of all my users on a 2003 Exchange 2003 system, because we were in the process of migrating from a very old Exchange 5.5, and so the focus was actually using Open LDAP in a Bash script to interface to Active Directory on the Exchange server and input all that good information that you want to put in into Active Directory or into any directory system, like job function, telephone number, address, things like that. It has the capability for, but you never have time to because it's actually used the information directly from our human resources department, and it was. It's a semi-automatic, but at least the scripts ultimately work to provision users within really just a few seconds on Active Directory, and then you can just delete them and reprovision them as much as you like. There's not much in terms of the functionality that was developed, which was relevant to the other islands. For example, the credit card statements I packaged up to send to St. Lucia, which has used a similar system. Just to conclude, I'm a big fan of Linux, and I think I demonstrated that it had great potential even in what you call a hostile environment. Ongoing support could be an issue. If you don't have anybody that's got the relevant skills, then the departure of somebody that does could be an issue. So to try and address that, I developed a kind of an operator interface, which I've got a separate slide on, but I don't think there's time to talk about it, because I'd like questions if possible. Integration with Active Directory is, in my opinion, an important feature, that really helps with acceptance and integration in the Windows environment. Now there's a school of thought that says, well, the Active Directory or the Windows environment isn't secure enough. We need a higher layer of security. And when you access the AS400, the banking system, well, it's very highly confidential customer information there. So, oh yes, we want another password. I'm not sure about that. I think that having lots and lots of databases of usernames and passwords, because it's so difficult to maintain, is actually doesn't help security. It actually makes it can potentially make it worse. But prepared to talk about that. And as Unix ODPVC is a useful technique, tools that I've been using for years, like Kermit, came in useful, and so there's life in the old dog yet. So that's the end of the presentation. I'd like any comments. Questions, clarifications, anything that you didn't follow, or just general points about It turned out that daily was enough, and you don't want to put an additional overhead. It was on your mission critical system. That could be an issue as well. And if there are any performance issues, the first thing that management is going to do is to point the finger at anything new. So it could also cause problems with acceptance as well. If I'd asked them, then probably they would have had some comments about it. But ODBC is if you run a query which is was probably one thing that you need to be careful about is running a query which has got which is inefficient. And so you could maybe bring down your database, and just everybody's wondering why on earth your main banking system is slow, so that's another reason. This is where the mirroring idea was happening when the AS400 was idle, so it could have no impact on performance, and that's important in a mission critical, with a mission critical. Platform, really. Linux knowledge is fairly rare. I know there were some Unix sysadmins in Trinidad. I mean, maybe about the number of employees in the bank was about 1,000. region-wide, not Grenada, but across the region. So Trinidad, I don't know, maybe 500, 600. And out of those, IT department, so maybe about 50 to 100 people, and maybe about three or four, or maybe three sysadmins that are actually skilled with Unix. But I think what I found was that there was a lot of emphasis on having GUIs, and nobody seemed to want to make the effort to learn a command line. I even remember for example, MRTG, which is a reasonably easy to set up Unix package. I mentioned that to a senior manager in Trinidad, and he said, "Oh, but it's not really a proper monitoring system. You know, sort of something like SolarWinds is a proper thing because you pay money for it, and it has a nice GUI that you can configure everything with." If you've got technical people, you know, I think if you've got technical people on your staff, you should be interested in having them get all those skills. And I couldn't really understand that attitude. I would say, I mean, they're not university graduates, and they wouldn't have been exposed to they wouldn't really have been exposed to any sort of in-depth technical. They would just have had some sort of basic IT qualification. Sorry, I'm not sure if I'm understanding or answering your question. I don't think so. No, I think they would have to have sort of like step-by-step instructions, and then you click here and you point there, and things like that. So they have some basic IT knowledge. But. Well, it's great fun. I really enjoyed it. I grew up on the island as well, so I had some. It wasn't a total culture shock, but it was still, because I'd never worked on the island before. It was a challenge to cope with the difference in culture, which, even though it's it has a lot of British influence, it's still different. And there's wonderful people to work with, very, very open and friendly. And it wasn't really an issue, but there was I think the other cultural issue was banking itself, because I hadn't worked in banking before. I worked in telecoms. So that was another challenge, and I think that in banking in the Caribbean, at least, IT people are kind of like looked down on a bit. That they're like second class citizens. I think they are sort of a bit of cowboys, you know. Okay. Okay. Well, it's still like that in the Caribbean, the way it was. Yeah. No, it wasn't. It wasn't my intention. My motivation was to make was to make the lives easier of the people that I was working with. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think that there's ways you can measure it, and ultimately, towards the time that I left, I didn't have a problem convincing management of any new initiative that I wanted to introduce, because they were so convinced. I hadn't mentioned the full. There's another slide that I had, which was just trying to capture a few more of the things. I mean, one of the things that's really went down really well was improvement of efficiency of reports, which to meet regulatory requirements, and making sure that we were doing our meeting requirements in terms of anti-money laundering, and anything which gives management visibility of performance, better visibility of performance of the business of the bank as a whole, was obviously very very well looked upon, and all these sort of things were reasonably easily achieved once I had the platform in place. And there was no way that I was going to get too far under the hood of the AS400. It was much more efficient and effective to do it all on Linux. I even had staff as well, a lot of managers coming to me and saying, could you do this, could you do that? And it actually also developed into a kind of an intranet server as well. So it's like, could you put this document on the server, could you put that document on the server? Which was the reason why I spent some time looking at a CMS, so that would have been the way to actually solve that particular issue. Because they were using SharePoint in Trinidad, and it just wasn't working, but the managers in Grenada were actually seeing a need for having like a proper intranet server. It's okay. Oh, fixing an 80. It turns out you can fix an ATM based on Windows XP, which is amazingly enough, that's what ours were based on, at least for a number of years. With disk corruption, you can actually fix it with a Canopics CD. So, and I actually wrote a document because I thought it was so great that you could use Canopics to fix an ATM. I mean, it was a specific problem, but it was just so good that you could do that. It's just a subset of what was possible to achieve once you had that Linux platform in place. They didn't convert. By the way, in case I just wanted to add that they didn't actually convert to T24 at the end. So they didn't actually introduce this modern banking system. They actually consolidated on RIBS, which reinforces that message: is that there's still a lot of proprietary mainframe systems or mid-range systems of like the AS400, probably still around. Thank you.